Wizard in a Witchy World. Written by Jamie McFarlane. Narrated by Stephen Barnett. Read. The delicate smell of perfume caught my attention just before a flash of red drew my eye. A pretty young woman opened the door to the bakery, looked my way, and gave me an innocent smile before disappearing inside. For a moment, time froze and my vision became clouded. In my mind's eye, this same girl was being chased by a wolf, calling my name for help. Her desperate cries tore at my soul, spurring my dream self into action. We hadn't ever met, but in the vision, I felt a deep connection to this woman and knew I had to save her. Just as quickly as the vision came upon me, it vanished, leaving my heart racing. I shook my head and looked around, hoping no one witnessed my break with reality. Picking up my e-reader from the black wire mesh table where it had fallen, I tried desperately to lose myself in the story again, but my mind continued to wander. I'd only had a few visions in my life, and they eventually all came to fruition exactly as I'd seen them. Unfortunately, that's nowhere near as helpful as you might expect. Without a date or some sort of context, I had no idea when or where this event would take place. Replaying the vision over and over, my mind searched for something more, but the dream faded, details slipping through my fingers as dreams are wont to do, leaving only fear, desperation, and a hideous sense of foreboding. It was weird. I'd only been in town a few weeks, and my choice of Leotown was purely random. Or so I thought. But that was the nature of my life. What I thought was random often turned out to be something entirely different. At least Leotown had an amazing bakery like Wheatfields, I thought, as I finished the rest of my scone. With renewed determination to concentrate on someone else's chaos, I tipped my chair back onto the bakery's brick facade and took a swig of coffee. It wasn't the best in town, but the scones more than made up for the coffee's shortcomings. Jeez, get going already, I thought, willing the author to introduce some sort of villainous character. With adrenaline coursing through my veins, reading would be a lost cause unless this guy picked up the pace. The next thing I knew, a musky scent wafted across my senses. I hadn't even gotten through the next paragraph. My highly sensitive nose is more of a burden than a gift. For the second time in as many minutes, I lifted my head and looked around. A shaggy, heavily bearded man in rumpled clothing leaned against the brick building adjacent to the bakery. The old market district was hardly the place to come if you intended to be picky about smells. Now, where was I again? Damn my ADD. White Wood Coven. I awoke to the sound of pounding on my door. Hang on, I growled, trying to focus on the wall clock in the kitchen. 1 o'clock. I'd only been asleep for a few hours. The pounding started again. I said hang on! I yanked the door open, prepared to give some asshole salesman a good piece of my mind. What do you want? I asked, my bluster evaporated as I recognized the woman standing in front of me. It was Red, in person.
Mr. Felix? She asked.
It sounded more like Meester. Cool. I'd always had a thing for accents, but maybe I paid too much attention to that sort of thing. What are you doing here?
I need to talk to you. May I come in? She asked.
Water splashed from the hood of her cloak and it dawned on me that it was raining. The weather explained why I'd slept so deeply. As a wizard, my strength was tied to the natural forces around me, and rain was a powerful regenerator. A hint of her perfume caught me, and something else. A wisp of evergreen and clay. At this point, I need to admit that I'm not always the sharpest knife in the drawer, especially when it comes to attractive young women with accents. Sure, I said, stepping aside. She smiled demurely and reached up. The gesture seemed natural and harmless, That is, until the point when her hand touched my chest. Fire coursed through my body as she lifted, tossed me over a chair, and then jerked me back onto the couch.
Shit! What the hell?
I groaned. This girl had a serious attitude problem. Red jumped over the chair and placed her knee on my chest, right where her hand had burned me. She shoved her finger in my face.
Quiet, Felix. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I need you to be truthful with me.
Her innocent, doe-eyed persona had completely evaporated, not to mention her accent.
Damn it, I was letting you in, wasn't I?
I asked.
What were you doing outside Victoria Barrio's house last night?
What's it to you?
My chest hurt where her knee pressed on me, and there was only so much humiliation I was willing to take, even from a beautiful young witch. I shifted my position and tried to sit up. She murmured an incantation and touched my collarbone. Her finger felt like a blowtorch.
Knock that shit off, I snapped, or I'm gonna start taking it personal.
Tell me,
she wagged her finger menacingly. The magic she was using was as familiar to me as my own. She was obviously part of a local coven, as no witch would be dumb enough to use this much magic outside her own territory. The Pine and Clay told me they were earth witches, just like Judy's coven. I concentrated and felt three additional souls supporting her. They were standing with shoes off, toes dug into the soil, and hands joined. They had to be close by. Why the hell were they focused on me? I grabbed her hand and twisted hard. The look of surprise on her face gave me a feeling of smug satisfaction. I bet she hadn't expected that when she'd come into my house and tossed me around. Who was she to start this crap? Dark feelings turned into their own power, and I pushed her back, sending her sprawling on her butt against the overturned chair.
Is that how you want to play it?
She raised her hands defensively.
Cock!
A dark shape flitted through the open kitchen window and into the living room. Maggie landed between us on Red's knees, spreading her wings protectively.
Crap!
I backed up and dropped to the couch. I closed my eyes, trying to center myself. It had been a long time since I'd come that close to losing it. I pushed away the darkness and breathed out the way Judy taught me. My heart rate slowed and my breath shuddered. I heard Red get up and knew she was trying to slip past me to the still open front door. I flicked a wave of power, slamming the door shut.
Sit, if you know what's good for you, I growled, still not completely in control.
She returned to the couch and sat quietly. After a few minutes, I opened my eyes. Red sat rigidly, a look of fear on her face, her original confidence shattered. Maggie was back on Red's knees.
Who are you?
She whispered.
You already know my name.
It wasn't the answer she was looking for, but it was the only one she was going to get until I had some answers.
Felix Slade is all I know.
Don't you mean we?
I asked. Her eyes grew wider.
Call your coven and have them join us.
What are you going to do? She asked. I'd rather die than give them to you.
I'm not going to do anything to you or your coven. Don't turn this on me. You're the ones who barged in here, I said.
So you say. Can you get this bird off me?
That bird saved you, so I'd show some respect, I said.
And her name is Maggie.
Maggie bobbed her head in agreement. She expressed her desire to get back outside, so I stood up and offered my arm. Flying indoors was hard for her, given the broad wingspan, but she knew I'd help and she jumped onto my arm. I walked her into the kitchen and lifted my arm to the windowsill.
Cock!
She chided and dove out the window.
She's your familiar?
More like a friend. I'd always been uncomfortable with the other term. It didn't fit my relationship with Maggie.
Why were you at Victoria's house last night?
Red pulled the willow switch I'd used to form the Sears glass from her purse and threw it on the coffee table. Amok.
Oh,
I groaned and tried to roll over. A heavy arm lay across me and I picked it up, recognizing the dark purple nail polish that Amok had been wearing the night before. I twisted my head too quickly, which sent fresh pain lancing through my eyes. Amok's eyes were open, and she was studying me.
Shit,
I said.
I knew it,
Amok said, pushing off from the bed. She was completely naked and, man, was she a sight. Her abs rippled as she stood and looked for her clothing. The loud banging at the door continued.
Did we?
I asked.
Yes, don't say it, though, she said.
It caused me immeasurable pain to slide to the side of the bed, but my brain caught up with what she was thinking. I grabbed her arm as she leaned down to grab her leather dress from the floor.
Say what? That you're ridiculously hot?
I asked.
Don't try to take it back, Slade, she said. I heard you.
Shit just means I woke up and didn't remember anything. It's not like I have visitors very often. I'd sure like to remember it. She looked at me, mistrust in her eyes.
You mean that?
That, and what the hell was in those drinks? My head is pounding, I said. It was an all-purpose, oh shit. I pulled the reluctant Amok onto the bed next to me and yelled,
Hold on!
At the front door.
It's just that this is where I typically get the boot, she said.
I looked up into her face, inspecting my feelings. Beyond the drinks, I didn't feel any regret. I wasn't sure where last night put our relationship, but I wasn't about to ask her to leave, especially as vulnerable as she seemed. Yarn and a compass.
You slept with a troll?
Gabriella hurled the question at me.
Have you no self-respect?
My mind whirled, looking for a snappy comeback, and finding nothing. Amok covered the distance between the bathroom and Gabriella in a flash. We were headed for dangerous territory.
Whoa, turn down the volume, I said.
My head was pounding, and I didn't need this blowing up on me.
And a gentleman never tells, but I can say that I woke up warm and friendly-like this morning. What do you want, Red?
Hold on, I want to get back to the self-respect thing, Amok said. Time to let the adults talk, Gabriella said, placing her hand on Amok's chest.
Just like before, Amok's eyes glazed over and the anger left her face.
Now go sit down.
What the hell was that?
I asked.
Trolls are lesser beings, Felix. We don't screw the help, she said. You should be ashamed.
Ashamed because I took advantage of her, or ashamed because she's beneath you?
Take your pick, but I'm not arguing about this. I'm on my way to work. I wanted to see if you made any progress on Clarita and if you wanted a ride to City Impound, she said.
No, I don't need a ride. And yes, I made progress on Clarita. I think I can track Shaggy's location. I was hoping we could find where they're holding Clarita, I said. And, for your information, I enjoyed hanging out with Amok.
How?
She's not complicated. We had drinks, danced, and she gave me a ride home. I don't see the big deal, I said.
I meant, how can you track Shaggy? Your thing with Amok is your own, she said.
I patted my pants pocket and didn't find my Shaggy compass.
Amok, did you see that bottle I was carrying last night? I asked.
Check the bathroom.
The glazed, blissful look on her face was disturbing. I headed for the bathroom and she called,
It's in the cabinet.
Sure enough, the Shaggy compass was right next to my toothpaste. Nice memory, I said when I got back to the living room.
Like she had a choice, Gabriella said.
Knock it off, I said. Amok was more than a willing participant, as you'd know if you've been talking with Camille.
Not what I meant. She's still under my compulsion, Gabriella said.
Oh, sorry.
although I think compulsion is creepy, I said.
Can we call a truce? She asked. I feel bad about letting things get out of hand between us. And you're right. What you and Amok do isn't my business.
Knock off compulsion spells when I'm around and we'll have a deal, I said.
Fine.
She flicked her hand at the space between her and Amok. I handed her the jar with the cork and needle floating in the shaggy, tainted water. I call it my shaggy compass.
What's it doing? She asked.
Always points at Shaggy. Doesn't tell us where he is right away, but with a map and a real compass, I can figure it out, I said.
How?
Basic geometry. Go to work and I'll have this worked out by later this afternoon, I said.
Be careful, she said. Shaggy meant business yesterday.
I helped her back out of the plywood that covered my door. When I re-entered the apartment, Amok was waiting for me.
Thanks, she said.
For?
Standing up for me. Never had a person do that.
Then you haven't known very many good people. She shrugged.
The witches aren't bad. They're scared we'll turn on them.
It was too deep of a conversation for my current physical shape. My head is splitting, I said. What did Rose put in those drinks? I poured 2 glasses of water, handed one to Amok, and chugged my own.
Did you mean what you said about how you wished you remembered last night, Slade?
Do you hang around with very many men? Of course I do. That's mostly the point.
It's just most men are scared when they see the real me.
Don't get me wrong. In the dungeon, when you were big and angry, you were scary. In the bar, when we were dancing and you let your guys down, pretty damn sexy, I said. And my friends call me Felix. Amok crossed the room and stood close in, definitely invading my personal space. I ran my hand down her long arm and looked up into her face. She'd dropped her glamour and stood exposed. Sure, there were a few things that set her apart from humans, but otherwise, she was just a very tall, extraordinarily fit woman. Is everything a test with you? I asked. I'm not flinching here, Amok. I'm not sure what last night makes us, but it feels like you're trying to figure out if I can handle it.
You're a strange one, Slade. The reason you can't remember last night is because I mixed a little something in your drink to let you forget, she said.
I pushed away from her. You drugged me? Why? How's that different from what the witches do to you?
I don't like how human men treat me after we spend the night. Even though they can't really see me, they know, she said. It's better for everyone this way.
If you want to be my friend, you'll let me make that decision for myself. If I'm disgusted, I think you'd want to know that.
Who said anything about being friends?
Amok asked as she walked back to the bedroom. You're just using me? I asked. Shit. 2 women in the same damn day. I must have sucker written on my face somewhere.
Must have,
she replied as she scooped up her leather dress in one hand and panties in the other. She'd turned just enough, and I reacted without thinking, which, given our physical difference, wasn't the smart play. I pushed her shoulders and she fell back onto the bed, roaring angrily. I pressed my advantage and jumped onto her, attempting to pin her arms. It was an ill-conceived move, showing how little I understood her strength. With a deft move and the grace of a leopard, she flipped both of us over.
You have a death wish, she growled.
Her eyes had turned cat-like, something I'd failed to previously notice. Feel sorry for yourself much? I stared into her eyes with a challenge. So the effectiveness was pretty weak, considering the fact that she was now on top of me, holding my arms to the bed. She let go and pushed off, trying to extricate herself. I grabbed her legs and pulled her back on top of me.
What are you doing, Slade? She asked.
Felix. I reached up and grabbed her waist, pulling her to me. She gave in a little and allowed her hands to come to rest on the bed on either side of my head.
You really want to do this?
Lights on and everything, Amok, I said. She lifted back up, still sitting on me, and crossed her arms in front of her, grabbing my t-shirt and pulling upward, exposing her body from the waist up as she did. I followed the cloth with my hands, running them over her warm skin up to her small breasts. She groaned, tossing my shirt to the side. I pulled her down into a long kiss, tusks and all. Turns out, I just didn't notice them that much. As she kicked off my jeans, I found I could barely contain myself. It had been over a year, at least as far as I could remember, and she was every bit the woman, and then some. I ran my hands over her body, exploring her every curve, and as I did, she rocked against me. Whatever mistrust she'd felt dissipated as the morning slipped by.